There are some people in the medical community who think that all doctors could use a little more fiction in their lives.
My name is Nellie Herman, and I work in the program in narrative medicine at Columbia Medical School.
Narrative medicine has been a movement in medical schools and hospitals for more than a decade. At Columbia University, Nellie Herman works with OBGYN residents. She has them read stories by writers like Jamaica Kincaid and Raymond Carver, and then they do creative writing exercises themselves.
The reaction I usually get is, what does that have to do with doctors? Why would doctors need to know how to write?
We sent Aaron Davis to Columbia to find out.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Abigail Ford is a big reader, though you'd never guess it. She just doesn't seem like the kind of person who has time to kick back with a novel.
I'm just putting some gel here, some ultrasound transmission gel, to see if I can hear the baby's heart rate. You hear that?
Yeah.
There it goes. That's the first time you're hearing it, right?
Uh-huh.
Cool. All right, well, everything sounds great, so I wouldn't worry too much about the headaches. My name is Abigail Ford, and I am a chief resident in obstetrics and gynecology at Columbia. And here we're in my continuity clinic, which is where I see OB and GYN patients throughout the course of the year.
So, hey, Francis.
It's hectic.
Do we have anybody else?
It's pretty busy here. As residents, we learn clinical information. We're learning statistics and procedures. We are reading and writing all the time, reading charts, reading labs, writing notes. Just writing her prescription. We're speaking all the time. And I think we're pretty much up to date with all your labs. I'm just going to see you back in a month. We're learning about people's deaths and births and life-changing illnesses. And there's no textbook that says this is how to talk to a patient or this is how to understand a patient.
And this is where Nellie Herman comes in. She has a totally different way of getting doctors to think about patient care.
I think it would be a little stale to read something that was written by a doctor about doctoring.
Nellie teaches narrative medicine at Columbia, and she leads a workshop in the hospital for residents like Dr. Ford. Now, narrative medicine is almost like a regular writing class. The group reads a short story, and they discuss it, and there's always a writing prompt. Unlike a typical workshop, many of these writers are coming directly from a lecture about angiogenesis, or how tumors grow new veins. These classes aren't packed. Only 8 of the 20 residents are at today's meeting.
I think there's probably a handful of people who don't come just because they don't think it's worth their time.
For the students who have come, Dr. Ford reads something that everyone in the room has heard before. They're supposed to keep this idea in mind during the reading.
The residents must be able to provide patient care that is compassionate, appropriate, and effective for the treatment of health.
She looks up and asks the class.
Anybody want to read?
Our mother called us brothers, her dirty little boys. Us brothers, boys were made, our mothers like to say, in the muddy image of our father.
We chose a story called Good Brother by Peter Marcus. It's about a family who lives in a really dirty, nasty town by a gross river.
When our father told us we were leaving, he meant it. We were leaving for good, this dirty river, this dirty town.
The parents, they really want to move. The boys really don't want to move because it's all they've ever known. At the end of the story, sort of as a reaction to the idea of moving, one of the brothers has an idea.
Give me your hand, I told him. Hold your hand up against the wood.
He gathers up a bunch of nails.
This might sting, I warned. And then I raise back that hammer.
And starts to nail his brother's hands to the fishing pole.
I drove that rusty nail right through brother's hand. Good brother, I said.
And the father comes out, sees what they're doing, and just turns his back and goes back inside.
Our father turned back his back. Us brothers turned back to face each other. I raised back the hammer. I lined up that rusted nail.
Do you have any sort of gut reactions to reading this?
Nobody cringed at the thought of a rusty nail plunging through the boy's skin. In fact, the first thing out of their mouths, tetanus shots.
Had their tetanus shots.
Pretty much what came to mind.
Pretty quickly, it becomes clear that the residents are really drawn to the boys, and they start to see their patients in the story.
It's their perspective of, you know, this is their world, that they actually like this way.
When I read the story, I thought about geriatrics patients. And what I thought of was, like, how many times you see geriatrics patients going to homes that are, like, not in the best of shape, and you always say, why don't you just go to this home, or why don't you know, and they never want to go because it's home for them.
And in the story, obviously, the parents don't make any effort to find out what it is that makes them so attached to this place that they would nail themselves to it.
I feel like sometimes we do end up doing that with patients. Like, they're clearly ignoring our advice and doing what we think is bad, and we say, okay, well, we'd really rather you do this, and just ignore the fact that they're nailing themselves to their home or the telephone pole.
Right, and I think that's a good question, is how can you do it better? Instead of just turning your back, how do you reach that patient? So I want you to think of a patient that maybe was hard for you or that you didn't quite have the same language, and to try and write from their perspective. Try and write in their voice.
Everybody loves a good story, but that's not exactly what narrative medicine is all about. It's about seeing how the physician or nurse or social worker actually becomes a part of other people's personal narratives, the story of their lives.
When you have an illness and a doctor enters the scene, I don't think it's ridiculous to say that it's a dramatic moment in your story. What this work is about is trying to get the doctors to recognize that and read their patients' stories appropriately.
Maria Schiavone is a first-year resident. She's petite and has to fold the cuffs of her doctor's coat up above her wrists. She volunteers to read. You should know that the patient she's writing about had just passed away from endometrial cancer. Many of the other residents had also seen her.
I'm speaking, I wrote it like in the frame of the...
We all wrote about the same patient.
I'm not ready to die. Why do these people keep asking me to sign away my right to live? I've told them hundreds of times. I want to be resuscitated. I want to be intubated. I made a promise to my mother to be present for my father's memorial. I think I can hold out a bit longer. The rest of the medication, sticks, pokes, tubes, I can probably do without. But I just want to last a little longer. I'm not ready to die.
Part of what I had written was about the same patient. And I think for a lot of patients, saying that they're going to give up is very hard. You know, if you had a small chance at living versus no chance at all, what would you choose? Wouldn't anybody choose life?
Even knowing all you know now as a doctor, would you make the same decision? I might make the same decision as a patient. That's what's scary to me. Just being in, like, different roles, like, as the doctor, you're kind of like...
The conversation continues until their hour is up. These residents have a really busy schedule to keep. It's hard to say whether their focus extends beyond the classroom or if it's just immediately washed away by the data and urgency of their work. It's a hard thing to measure, in writing anyway.
We all go into this field with these ideas about being a team with patients, and we go through medical school thinking, you know, we're never going to be that doctor that's, like, not taking into account the patient's perspective. And this is a good reminder, I think, to step back and say, okay, yeah, this is where I started. Am I still becoming the kind of doctor that I wanted to be?
For Studio 360, I'm Erin Davis.